remember, then we start with our midrash. We are now going to look at the close date. Is it page 29? We're finished 29, we're at 30 now. Chapter 7. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chapter 7 provides for obligations of all the upfront with the rights. Clause 8 provides for payment of annual fees. 31 is as follows. A person to whom a plan with the rights has been granted in terms of this of section 28 must pay the respective annual fee for the duration of the plan with the rights in question. 2. The holder of the plan with the rights must pay for the annual fee, must pay the first annual fee on or before the first March of the year following the date on which the plan with the rights was granted, and must pay any subsequent annual fee on or before the 31 March of each year thereafter. 3. In the event that an annual fee has been paid on or before the date contemplated in Section 2, the plan creator concerned may pay an amount double the amount of such fee in order to ensure that the registration of the plan creator right does not last, but such late payment may only be effected during a period not exceeding 3 months from the date on which the payment was due in terms of that subsection. 4. If no fee is paid in terms of Section 2 or within the period contemplated in Section 3, the registration of the plan does right in question. That's it. Thank you.
Agreed, honorable members? Honorable Pertana, honorable Maria Frazier?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go.
Thank you, honorable chair. What do you call an enabling legislation? When that right, right on the very last subsection, when that right elapses, do we or do we not want to make provision for the revival thereof? I think I haven't read what follows, you know. But should that be final, end of the whole thing, or do you want to provide for a possible revival of those rights in certain circumstances? Just for us to apply our minds. I repeat, I don't know what we provided for, you know, in the subsequent sessions. Thank you, Chair.
No, I assume that this one was a slippery of the hand, where you judge it not on subsection 3. If it has not been paid, it was a slippery of the hand. Oh, okay.
Okay. Can you get a response, doctor, or departmental advisor, or register?
Thank you, sir. Currently, the revival of the right is not provided for. We did look at some of the plant preserve right for plant preserve legislation in other countries, and such was not provided for. However, it is provided in other, in the Patents Act. So, again, we will take guidance on this matter. Thank you.
Well, Chair, this is a standalone piece of legislation. If there was close reference, or do you want to assume that a person who would want to apply this, like a judicial officer, would assume that there is cross reference, which is not, you know, stated explicitly here, and that they would understand that there is that process? Or the person is interested whose rights they know would have come to the end. You want to assume that they would know that somewhere there is another provision?
Yes, Chair. The obligation of holders of plan with rights, that statement specifically applies to payment of annual fees. That you already have a right, the 12 months within which you must pay for the rights. And that if you don't pay, you already have rights, and the corresponding obligation is for you to pay for that right for 12 months. And if you did, I said that about holding that right, you you must definitely pay for it, otherwise the rights lapses and you have to start again. Because it's not like you are without recourse. Unless this right was taken and traded against the law, where you have a right to review. But in this instance, you have a corresponding obligation to your right to pay an annual fee.
The right includes your right to pay. So you must pay for you to keep the right. It's not the right, JJ. Yeah, you must pay for it. That's democracy. You must pay for the right.
I suppose there should be a similar case with LTF.
Can we proceed?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So we have proceed to 31, clause 31 is about measuring of obligation material.
No, 31, subsection 1 is
the holder of a plant who has a right must ensure that he or she is in a position for the duration of the right when requested by the registrar. A. To furnish the registrar with the propagating material of the variety in respect of which the right was granted, that is capable of reproducing the variety in question in such a manner that the characteristics of the variety correspond with those described at the time of the grant of the relevant right. And B. Provide the registrar with the information and access to the relevant facilities to satisfy the registrar that the holder is maintaining propagating material that conforms with requirements contemplated in paragraph A. 2. The registrar may, during normal business hours, undertake such inspection in connection with any matter contemplated in section 1 as may be necessary in order to ensure compliance with the provisions of that inspection. Thank you.
Okay, it says the very first sentence, for the duration of the right. I think we should have a comma there before when requested by the register. Then it will read more contextually. Also on subsection 2, normal business hours. I think we have got different normal business hours depending on the context in which you are referring to. On a farm, a Saturday 4 p.m. may very well be a normal business hour. If you have got milking cows, 5 a.m. midwinter is typically a normal business, you know, hour. So I think we need to contextualize what we mean by normal business hours. Who is you dealing with?
Talk to your mic so that you can hear what you are saying.
Chairperson, we are due to meet the technical team tomorrow to attend to all of the issues that have been raised thus far, including the issue raised by the Honourable Member, because we have no right answer now. We were just saying that the interpretation that we think is provided, but we cannot for the answer, provide that answer.
Okay.
I thought normal business hour is 8 to half past 4. Then all these other hours are abnormal. That's what I thought. So I thought when you talk about the normal business hour, you'd be guided by what the public service says is the normal business hour. And then all others is expected that day, like how much might be at the kill club and so on and so forth, is not necessarily normal business hour. But if you are going to mention to that, we are going to have a catastrophic problem. Others will say we are working in mines and working day during the night and so on, then we are going to have a catastrophic problem. I think we must stick to what we know as normal business hours.
No, I think those are the drafting legislation, which they might confirm here now. I suppose they were guided by the public service regulation, that the normal hours defined in the public service regulation. So I think what we just need to do is to put the definition in that it doesn't need to come, we don't have to come back on it. You just put it in the definition that as that normal hour, because it's regulated already in terms of public service, there is a stipulated hours for any public service that you have to work from. It's 7:30, it's not even 8:00 on Honorable Nalamaloi. 7:30 to 4:30. Honorable
I think if I understand this well, what the Honorable Nalamaloi is referring to is normal office hours, not normal business hours. That would be normal office hours.
That's what we're saying, Honorable Sultan. We're saying in public service, in public service, they define what is abnormal hours for public service. Because we're dealing with the register, which is a public servant, obviously will be regulated within that public service. Agreed? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. We are now at a that is now 32, Chair, clause 32, about enforcement of plant feeders' rights. 32 provides specifically for infringement of plant feeders' rights. It reads, subject to section 10, a plant feeders' rights is infringed by any person who, not being the holder of the plant feeders' rights, performs or causes to be performed, and as contemplated in section 7.1, res section 7.2, and section 7.3, without having granted a license contemplated in section 34, or section 36. B. In the case of an essentially derived variety performs or causes to be performed in acts contemplated in section 7.1, res section 7.2, and section 7.3, without an authorization from the holder of the plant's right, of the, Roman letter 1, initial variety, or 2, essentially derived variety, in the event that separate protection for the essentially derived variety exists. C. Uses the approved denomination of a protected variety relating to plants or propagate material of any other variety for any purpose whatsoever. Or D. Sells plants or propagating material of a protected variety. Roman letter 1, under a denomination other than the approved denomination of that variety. Or 2. Without using the approved denomination. That's it.
Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. 33 provides for remedies in respect of infringement of plant breeders' rights. It reads, the holder of the plant breeders' rights or any person to whom a license contemplated in section 34 or section 36 has been granted may, upon proof of an infringement of that right and with proof of damages suffered to that holder or licensee, recover by action in any contempt court from the person who infringed the plant feeder's right compensation in respect of such infringement. 2. The holder of a plant feeder's right may not institute an action contemplated in subsection 1, while the relevant plant feeder's right or variety is the subject of an appeal in terms of section 41. 3. If the person to whom a license contemplated in section 34 or section 36 has been granted has been guided institutes a claim contemplated in subsection 1, the hold of the relevant plant feeder's right must be joined as a party to those proceedings. 4. In addition to any other remedy, a competent court may, in proceedings due to the infringement of a plant feeder's right, make an order in respect of the custody, surrender or disposal of any book, document, plant, propagating material, product, substance or other article. Thank you.
Great.
Chapter 9, Chair, provides licenses. 34, or close to 34, reads, the holder of a plant with a right may enter into a written license agreement authorizing any person to undertake any activity referred to in section 7. Thank you. 35 provides application for composer license and rates. 35.1. Any person who is of the opinion that the holder of a bank has rights and reasonably refuses to grant him or her a license under section 34, or that such a holder is imposing unreasonable conditions for the issue of such a license, may in the described manner apply to the registrar to issue a compulsory license in respect of the relevant land holder's right. 2. The registrar must inform the holder of the land holder's right and writing of application contemplated in subsection 1A within 7 days of receiving that application. 3. The holder of the land holder's right may lodge a counter statement with the registrar within 30 days of receiving the information contemplated in subsection 2, in which the holder concerns set out the reasons why he or she contests application question. 4. If the person who made the application adds and is aware of the relevant land holder's rights at any stage under the application has been lodged with the registrar, reached an agreement with regards to the issue of a license, the person who made the application must inform the registrar of the agreement within 10 days of reaching the agreement. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Subsection 2, after 1A, within 7 days, and subsection 3, within 30 days. Do we want to define those days, or do we want to assume that it's straight, uninterrupted days, in other words, including weekends, which are not normally regarded as a normal working house?
Thank you, Chair. Days is also interpreted in Interpretation Act, Chair. So it was covered, it's defined there.
So can that define where?
In Interpretation Act, Chair.
Okay. Another question.
Can you throw more light on that? When you say interpretation, interpretation, do we count weekends or do we exclude them? Do we count holidays? Because there is a possibility of making a law which is skewed in favor of public servants, when in fact you may not be dealing with public servants here. And these are some of the things that make legislation to bounce back. If we don't specify, we just want to work on assumptions. Thank you.
Not mistaken, I speak on correction, but days is working days, and you include the first and exclude the last. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Great.
Sir, I will let it pass, but the explanation we're getting is not in congruence with the explanation we got when we're talking about normal working hours. They are metrically opposed to one another. If it says compares to the theory, that if I understood him to be saying that, in other words, this is inclusive of weekends, which are not regarded. If I read my head into the thing, that maybe I didn't hear him well.
No, that's what Martin said. He says working hours means that it's from Monday to Friday, so it will exclude weekends and public holidays. Yes. Okay.
We will also ask for complicity bring that provision for the Honourable Member in the Adaptation Act to assist you to understand this provision. Thank you.
Petrus Lowe's day.
We are now on the decision on hearing of application
for an issue of commander license. 36.1. The registrar must determine the date and time and place at which an application contemplated in section 5.1 will be heard and must inform the person who made the application and the holder of the plans printer's right in question in writing of such date, time and place. 2A. The registrar may appoint one or more persons who have experience in the administration of justice or skill in any matter which may be considered at the hearing to assist and advise him or her with regard to the hearing of the application for a compulsory license. B. A person appointed in terms of paragraph A must receive such recommendation as may be prescribed. Three, the register may, for the purposes of the hearing of an application for a compulsory license A, summon any person who may give material information concerning the subject of the hearing, or who have his or her position or custody or under his or her control any document that has any bearing upon the subject of the hearing, to appear before the registrar at a time and place specified in the summons, to be interrogated or to produce that document, and the registrar may return for examination any document so produced. B. Administer an oath to or accept an affirmation from any person called as a witness at the hearing. And C. Call any person present at the hearing as a witness and interrogate him or her and require him or her to produce any document in his or her position or custody or his or her position or custody or under his or her control. 4. The procedure at the hearing of an application for compulsory license must be prescribed. 5. The person who applies for a compulsory license and holder of the blank with the rights in question may, if he or she appears before the registrar at the hearing, be represented. The registrar must advise the applicant for a compulsory license. The registrar must advise the applicant for a compulsory license and the holder of the blank with the rights in question in writing of his or her decision and on the ground on which on his basis within 7 days after the hearing of the application for a compulsory license. 7A. The registrar must issue a compulsory license if it has been established that, remember, the granting of a compulsory license is in the public interest. 2. The holder of a blank does right is unreasonably refusing a license referred to in section 84 or is imposing unreasonable conditions on the issue of such a license. And 3. The reasonable requirement of the public with regard to the variety in question are not being satisfied or will not be satisfied as a result of such refusal or the imposition of such conditions. B. A compulsory license contemplated in paragraph A, may include such conditions that the registrar may determine, and 2. May at any time be refused by the registrar by reason of representations made to him or her for the amendment of the or withdrawal of that compulsory license. 8. In setting the terms of a compulsory license, the registrar must endeavor to ensure that propagating material of a variety of species is available to the public at reasonable prices, consistent with the holder of a blank bearer's rights deriving a reasonable advantage therefrom. 9. A compulsory license may be granted to any person, whether or not the holder of the relevant blank bearer's rights has granted license in terms of section 34 to any other person. B. The issue of a compulsory license does not prevent the holder of the blank bearer's rights from granting additional license in terms of section 34. 10. In the event that a compulsory license is issued in accordance with the subsection 7, the registrar must ensure that the payment of equitable compensation to the holder of the blank bearer's rights is concerned. Thank you.
The 7 is 10, Can you pronounce 10? The number is a problem. These things, the procedure at the hearing of an application for compulsory license must be prescribed by regulation or by policy or who must prescribe. Honorable Maloy, you can note the question.
Chair, on clause 36, section 2A, the one that talks about the appointment may appoint one or more persons who have experience to advise and so on. And then I will take you to, related to that, is section 45. That talks about the establishment of the advisory committee. Sub 2, the advisory committee may advise the registrar on any technical matter arising from any provision of this act and any other matter relating to the administration of this act referred to the advisory committee by the registrar. So you want to have an advisory committee, but at the same time, on that other side, you still have when other people advise. I'm not sure what is the situation. Is this what they are suggesting? Because I was going to, I can tell you what I was going to propose. I was going to propose that we should not have this one or more persons to advise the registrar, just on this on the things, but the advisory committee, which advises the minister, will also be able to provide an advice to the registrar on this matter, because it deals with any technical matter.
You want to respond?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you for the question.
Why do we need because in that one we're very clear that the Minister of Labour brings a pressure report. We should be dealing with the plant improvement. And here we're dealing with the rights. But this right is about the plant. So obviously it's the same people that you need to get right. So why do you need different advisory reports?
Chair, thank you. We definitely agree that the membership of the advisory bodies between the two acts may overlap, and that in terms of the assistance that must be available to the registrar can also come from that advisory committee, and we will deal with it as we've agreed to under the Plant Improvement Act and also with the advisory committee that's relevant to this act.
My question is, that one's an improvement of the plant, and this one we are dealing with the rights, the breeder rights. So which actually is about the rights of owning, whether it's those plants or the variety or whatever you talk about, or you refer to. Why the two views need advisory report? They need different advisory report.
If I may just clarify what my colleague just said, he's actually saying no, you don't need two advisory boards. You will have the one advisory board, which because they are similar, they would advise on both the breeder's rights and a improvement. However, we have to still make provision for it in the Act. But practically, how it would work is that the minister would probably just appoint one advisory board for both plant improvement and plant breeders. If I may also respond, Chair, to the issue of the proceedings for the yearling and how it may be, how it would be prescribed. It would be prescribed by regulation. And with regards to the appointment of the advisors just as the registrar, we agree that it would be handled exactly like how the plant improvement bill is going to be dealt with. Thanks.
You know the complication. The complication of this matter. When we're dealing with the plant improvement thing on the regulation, at some point we were arguing about must and may. Now, as you are tightening up that process to say prescribe, you are referring to the regulation. They need you for regulation. So, but as yesterday when we were dealing with this prescribing the improvement bill, we were saying, when members say, why are you not saying must? You say, no, you don't have to tie it if minister needs it or does not need it. Should not be a problem. So now we're asking the question for this prescribed, you say prescribing the regulation, which you are tightening up that there must be a regulation. Honorable Matan.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to say that probably the disadvisory structure in both the two bills, there must be a clause that talks about the same thing, that the advisory as outlined in the plant or in the breeding, the breeder rights, so that we know we are talking of one thing, because if it doesn't show the interlink, each might have its own advisory concern independent of each other. Yeah.
No, which therefore suggests, Chair, that we have to again go back to the what is that other bill? The plant improvement to amend it to include some of these expertise that are in this section and transfer it to that particular section. But when we say as contemplated in the plant improvement, you know the skill which is here is covered in that particular bill which you are referring to.
Okay. Agreed. Advisor Tim? Stavomamos.
Yes, there is absolutely, in drafting, there is absolutely nothing wrong from, or impossible to make it as a member proposing. The only difficulty it would have for the committee in later life would be that when one bill is amended or repealed, then it would mean that this one as well would be, the process would have to commence under this one as well. So that's the only thing of course of the legislation. Otherwise, it's not unique to this, it's the rest with all other legislation.
Okay. But it's safer to put that clause because we don't want anybody to interpret it differently. Till now, our work is to do legislation. There's no problem in amending the legislation. Agreed? Let's proceed.
Apologies, it was just a minor IT challenge. We've asked our advice.
But we have copies. We can use our copies. Let's
We're in chapter 10, termination of capital rights. We are reading in Clause 37, which applies which provides the expiry of capital rights. That statement reads, a plan with a right expires at the end of the arrangement period contemplated in section 8.
Agreed? We are lost, Honorable Feltano.
So a little earlier we're dealing with the termination of a breeder's right. I can't remember section, but it was just now after lunch. I think we need not make a reference to that here, because if we leave it just as it is, it's absolute. That is this 37. Maybe wise for us to say except provided for or including as provided for in the other section where we're talking about when a person fails to pay the registration fee or something like that. I can't remember which one it was.
No, that's just about the duration of the right. There is a clause. Clause 8. Honorable Kruger?
Mr. Chair, help us legal eagles. Why do we duplicate this? Because
expiry and duration of plant venous rights is more or less the same word. So why do we duplicate 8 and 37? Because in 8 we already say that's the duration of the venous right. Just ask, I don't know if it's a legal...
Why did you duplicate state law advisor on departmental?
If I may, I think the idea was to just put all the issues or events of termination under one clause or under one section. And that is why we sort of repeating for the sake of clarity that, you know, 8 deals with the duration and the various periods of validity, and then under the termination of the plan redesign, just for emphasis, we think it will terminate upon expiration of the normal period of the duration. So even Honourable Member Fultana, if we can answer you, this deals specifically with just termination of the normal duration of the right. So we've dealt with expiry of the right, we've dealt with cancellation of the right, and the surrender of the right. So we just try to put everything under one heading, if I may say.
Okay. Great. Honorable Sultan, agree?
Can you just refer to the subsection we spoke of just now after lunch? Which one was it? 31 or 31? Where there was a talk of the lapse because the person hasn't paid. I just want to make sure that we look at this same aim, so to speak.
Yes. That's with regards to the payment of the annual fee, and what you had raised was if payment has not been made, why should the right lapse? You know? Which number are we now on? On the termination clause, which is now, chapter 10, paragraph 30, or section 37, that is dealing with the normal expiration of a right during its lifetime. So you're not talking about any event or difficulty that may occur during the process of applying for the right. So that's a different aspect.
We're speaking about the obligation of the holder. Yes. Yeah, to pay. Yes. Now it's emphasizing that the only termination is when the term that you are given ends. There is no interruption that will come within the duration that you've been allocated that right. Which might say maybe the officer then, therefore we cancel the right, and you'll hold that right until the end of the duration that you're given. Agreed?
Yes.
Next question.
Thank you, Chair. As clause 38 to cancellation of that person's right, it reads 38.1. The registrar may cancel a plan to the right if A, it is as discussed, a requirement specified in section 152A or B has not been complied with at the time of the grant of the rights. B, a requirement specified in section 52C or D is no longer complied with. C, the right has been granted to a person who is not entitled to it unless it is transferred to a person who is not entitled. Or D, the holder of the planter's rights consent has failed to, Romulet 1, provide the register with information or material considered necessary for verifying the maintenance of the variety within 3 months of the date on which the register requested information or material in terms of section 31.1. 2, pay the annual fee to maintain the planter's rights. Or 3, propose within 30 days from the date of the notification in terms of section 34.2 another possible denomination if the denomination of the variety is cancelled after the grant of the plant with the site. 2. The register must A. Notify the holder of the plant with the right concerned in writing that an application for the cancellation of the right has been received and is being considered. B. Request the planter to submit the rest of the writing within the prescribed period as to why the plant with the right should not be cancelled. C. Consider any reasons receiving pursuant to. Consider any residence received pursuant to the notice contemplated in paragraph 8. D. make a decision whether or not to cancel the grandmother's rights, and in the event that he or she decides to cancel the grandmother's rights in accordance with subsection 1, Roman letter 1, inform the holder of the grandmother's right consent in writing of the charge of cancellation and the reasons for the cancellation, and 2, cancel the grandmother's rights within 60 days of the date on which the registrar has informed the holder of the grandmother's rights in terms of subparagraph Roman letter 1. 3, the registrar must cancel a grandmother's right before expiry of the grandmother's rights if ordered by a court or a minister in terms of section 44. 4, a grandmother's right may not be cancelled for any reasons other than those contained in subsections 1 or 3. 5, a variety in respect of which a grandmother's right has been cancelled under this section vests by operation of law in the public dominion and is not capable of registration according to this act. Thank
you. Happy? Yes.
So I think this issue of may and must keeps cropping up. 38.1 says the registrar may. Then it goes on to page 17. 38.D.2 may pay the annual fee. If you fail to pay the annual fee. Now, this is a totally different version we get from the earlier one, where we said that if you fail to pay your annual fee, then now it's automatic. This is not automatic now. Apparently, the registrar must still make a decision, because he's under no obligation, he or she is under no obligation to automatically cancel your right. Nay, which may be consideration if you produce some evidence. So we need to sort out this nay must. Or we deal with that D38D2 in an appropriate manner. Because it's no longer automatic according to this, that if you fail to pay, therefore automatically your rights are off. There is ambiguity here.
Honorable Chair, the positive obligation, just to put it up here.
I don't want you to explain it. Let's keep the great lawyer or the departmental lawyer. So you can't explain it. You put yourself in trouble. Yeah. Department or the state lawyer can then
Thank you.
Opportunity at various points to do the payment. thus going forward as a final decision, if that payment is not made, having been given this opportunity to pay, because you're even given the opportunity to pay a down fee if you don't pay the first time round or miss the deadline, and then 3 years basically saying you will pay double, and then if that still doesn't happen, you will then lose your right to lapse. Your 38 is basically giving the registrar that prerogative, which is another obligation. You see, it's telling the registrar, it's giving the registrar the option of considering it, having regard to the 30. Has this person complied? So it's not entirely the same. Basically, your 38 is saying, it's just giving you the final outcome. The registrar may cancel where's that specific one I'm looking for? May cancel the a plant right, reader's right, before expiry of the plant reader's right. So if there's incompliance in terms of 30, obviously that discretion will then not be exercised. Others?
Sir, is our understanding of the word may is that he's authorized, empowered, if that's what it means. I would agree, provided we understand that failure on its own to pay does not necessarily mean that. Yeah. That administrative process must still take place. Now, there could very well be a serious situation here. I was supposed to have paid my registration fee or whatever, you know, by the 31st of May. I go and do something which I would normally have been authorized to do, you know, if I had paid. The date is the 16th of June. But the order from the register has not yet come out. How do you classify that period between the 1st of June and the 16th of June? The order is only issued on the 17th of June. I have done something in the interim. I was supposed to have paid last week for me to be, was the 31st of May. I haven't paid. I go and do something on the 15th, and the order only comes up on the 17th of June. How would you classify my action? Illegal?
No, Honorable Sultan, you have been given an opportunity that if you don't give him a month, for instance, you can then pay double in the next month. So, which means it's not about the... So, at the time when the registrar has cancelled your fee, it would have been proven that you are not paying at all, because you have given opportunity, you have jumped the first month, the second month, you are not even paying the double. So, then you are justifying that you are not paying, therefore it must be cancelled. So it's not about if you're not paying, you're supposed to pay on the 16th of June, then if you are paying on the 17th, if the deadline was supposed to be the 17th by that month, obviously you're still covered, because you have an opportunity that you can put jump a month, for that the legislation is not is giving you opportunity to say if you have jumped your obligation this month, you can then be able to even pay double, like given opportunity that you can even pay double. Honorable Sultan.
The interpretation of the law can be very tricky business. Legal minds would agree with me here. We need to know which action exactly. And in other words, you know, I understand you. You have been given that grace in the college that you can still pay the following month. And now I'm talking beyond the longest extension that you could have been given. Do we work on the understanding that once now you go beyond even that extension, you are automatically off, or do we wait until the May kicks in where the order, you know, comes out to say, you know, your registration is off. And when that order is issued, it's going to be retrospective, from the 1st of June or is it from the date of issue? I know that will probably come out in the registration, in the regulations. So that's not the main point. Main point is, which of these two acts determines my status? My failure to pay by the 1st of May with all the extensions, or the date of issue, or the issuing rather, of the order by the registrar? Which one? In a court of law, this could be a very sticky point. So let's get a nice definition here.
The law says if the 3 months lapse, you're gone. So means that whether you must calculate your 3 months. If 3 months end up on the 31st, therefore on the 31st of the 3rd month, then you must be removed within the system till they must hold your rights. Honorable Sudan, if you check the payment fee, it's explaining that you can pay double if you're given 3 months. If the 3 months lapse, specify if the 3 months lapse, then there must be consequences. So it creates what I need to do. Why one of the 7 months? 3 months. 3 months ends up on the date of the month when it ends. So you've been writing a sign as a student. You know that if you're given a deadline that you must submit by the end of the week of the working day, which is Friday, the only time that they can give you grace period is when you put it on the 1 minute past 12 in the midnight towards the morning. So if it's 3 a.m., then you are outside, you say. So it's clear, this one. Very clear. Can we pass on this one? Honorable for that?
Yes. Okay, sir. I'll put it this way. I would humbly appeal to you to allow them to go and apply their minds to this. If you don't mind, sir. I'm not insisting, only appealing. Thank you.
But you have read that those plans,
I have, sir. And I think I'm explaining my point. I don't want to be behaving like John McEnroe and Dennis.
The naughty boy. That's
why I'm humbling appealing that they go back and apply their minds. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, sir, for the concession.
Okay. Can we then proceed?
Thank you, sir. We are now in Sidonage. Section about voluntary surrender of plant to the rice. Sidonage 1 states that the whole of the plant to the rice may at any time surrender his or her plant to the rice by notifying the registered writing of such surrender. 2. If rice in respect of which a plant to the rice is surrendered as contemplated under this section, rests upon by operation of law in the public domain and is not capable of registration according to this act. Thank you.
Sir, what agree? Because you're making noise, so you don't have an option. You must agree. Let's proceed.
Chapter 11 speaks to the plan for Resi Journal. That has to be published in plan for Resi Journal. Clause 41. The register must ensure, clause 40, subsection 1, the register must ensure that the journal to be started, the plan for Resi Journal recorded marks, is published on an annual basis or at regular intervals within each year. 2. The subject matter of the journal contemplated in subsection 1 must be prescribed. Yes, sir. Chapter 12 says provides for appeals, right to appeal. 41. A person who feels aggrieved by any decision or action taken by the registrar may appeal in the first time manner to the minister against such decision or agent. Thank you.
Agreed?
Yes. 42 provides for appeal board composition and membership. 42 subject 100. The minister may constitute the board known as the appeal board to investigate and consider any appeal referred to in terms of section 41. Yes.
Agreed?
No? 42?
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Subject 2 reads, the board must consist of at least 3 members appointed by the minister, of whom A, 1 must be appointed on account of his or her knowledge in the relevant fields of law, and B, 2 or more persons must have expert knowledge of the subject of the appeal. 3, the minister must designate the person referred to in subsection 2A as the chairperson. 4, the remuneration of a member of the board must prescribe after consultation with the Minister of Finance. 5, any person appointed in terms of subsection 2 must recuse himself or herself as a member of the board if he or she has any direct or indirect personal interest in the outcome of the appeal. Thank you, Chair.
Agreed? Agreed.
43 provides for investigation.
Just a question, Chair.
Honorable Maloy?
You know these 2 bills, they are not necessarily 100% different. And in the plant improvement, it's about to advise the minister. If there is an appeal and so on and so forth. So do you want to have a board on plant improvement and a board on the breeders case? It goes back to the earlier advent of the committee, what we call the advisory committee. That we can just have one advisory committee. Yeah, and so on. And even here you can say the minister can have this board contemplated in the plan improvement, the act of plan improvement bill, and then you know that. But I'm not sure. But possibilities are that if the temporary thing is just for that specific period, then it's gone, and then at the later stage, in a point, other people's not permanent board and so on. But I think that's a possibility. But if it's like that, I don't think it's a problem.
Yes, it's an appeal, but it's not. It's not committee. Yeah. Okay. Let's proceed.
43 chair is about investigation and consideration by board. As this 43 subsection 1 is, the minister may refer an appeal to the board. 2, an appeal must be heard on the date and the time and place determined by the chairperson. 3, the chairperson must inform the appeal and any other party that has an interest in the appeal in writing of the date, time, and place of the hearing. 4, the chairperson may, for purpose of the hearing of an appeal, A, summon any person who may have material information concerning the subject of the hearing, or who has in his or her possession or custody or under his or her control any document which has any bearing upon the subject of the hearing, to appear before the board at any date, time, and place specified in the summons, to be questioned or to produce that document, and the chairperson may retain for examination any documents so produced. And B, administer an oath to or send an affirmation from any person called as a witness at the hearing. 5, a person who appears in terms of section 41 at the register may be represented at the appeal. 6, if a member of the board A, dies during the investigation or proceedings of the appeal, or so soon before the commencement of the investigation that the vacancy cannot be filled in time, B, is unable to act and another person cannot be appointed in time, or C, is, after the investigation has commenced, unable to continue therewith, the parties may agree that investigation be continued by the remaining members of the board. 7, where the member of the board who has died or has become incapacitated as engaged in subsection 6 was or is the chairperson of the board, the minister must designate one of the remaining members of the board to act as chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. For 3-3, as an interest, would it not be prudent to define the interest? So there are many interests. It can be a social interest, it can be any form of interest. think that's too open, and if such a person is left out, they would have every right to appeal and say, no, you did not invite me, and here I had an interest because my brother was involved.
You know, this is slightly difficult because you try to limit the number of people that that want to be involved in appeal to avoid people that may have vexatious intentions from getting involved. So you try to limit it, and that's why the best, and maybe it's late in the day and I can't think very well, but you try to describe the person as interested person, interested party. It's a general legal term that we use, even in contracts and so on and so forth. But because we're government, anybody has the right to get involved. It is up to the appeal board, like it is with courts, to assess whether that party or that person has a genuine interest in the matter. So it's very difficult to actually bar anybody from getting involved in a matter. It's really a subjective assessment based on objective facts to assess whether this person has a true interest or not. Thank you.
Let me raise my voice before I give the crowd members the opportunity to speak. But on this one, I wanted to address the chair, to the quality of substantive chairperson. I wanted to address it. Now, members, what I wanted to say is that section 40, clause 43, 44, 45, 46, and so on, are not necessarily different from the clauses we dealt with when we're dealing with the broadband improvement bill. And I was going to say to the chairperson, I'm tempted to appeal to members that we must have that because already have dealt with those clauses, so they are not different, and so on. Unless if you want just to waste a lot of time, because it's the same thing, and so on. But I'm now going to give over to members to speak. I start with Honorable Tapa, Honorable Matale, then
Thank you, Chair. In fact, in this one, I think we've got the same, or we think the same. It's only that where I've just said, what I was going to say, let us ask the team to go and take, because ourselves is almost way away with the quality of life improvement. So go and take all the, look at the comments what were on that improvement. They will be relevant in this one. That was my last comment. Well,
Matale?
I think
the closed the comment by seconding what you propose we should do, which effectively means we will have to go to the next point. My comment was more of a general one with regard to the comment you made around the generality or the openness of who can appeal. The bill is restrictive in terms of the issues that we are dealing with. You can't appeal on something which is not contained on the bill. And the appeal is based on your application to the register. This is rejected for whatever reason. You are appealing against that. So it's a bit restrictive, and I think it's quite in order. And I also second your comment that you know, probably we might not go word by word. You know, the presenter can talk to the sections because they are related to the ones who dealt with on the plant field. Thanks.
Members, we are great. That the presenter must have say clause 47, agreed that it. Clause 48, agreed that it. Don't read sentence by sentence. Just for record purposes, must say agreed that it. In which clause were you? Let's go to that clause. I'm going to guide you. Where?
43 now. 43.
Yes. Members, are we agreed?
Yes,
thank you very much.
Okay.
clause 44 talks of consideration of appeal by minister.
Agreed. Thank you very much.
Proceed. 45 is establishment of advisory committee.
Agreed. Proceed.
Chair, can you say that so agreed, that means agreed in light of the comments?
Yes, what we are going to do, if we make amendments for the plan improvement on the sections, we just encapsulate them into this.
On the advisory committee, I thought we are not agreeing to the content that is here, because it must be amended to then be the same thing. That is, you know, on advisory section as reflected in the plant improvement bill.
You remember what you said? Okay. Agreed, members? Okay.
So shall I start reading from general provisions in chapter 14?
Yes.
Yes. Verse 649. The one about entering promises for inspection.
Yeah, proceed.
Yes, 49, the register may, on the grounds of the warrant issued in terms of Section 3, enter and inspect any place, premises or vehicle in or upon which may any plant propagating material, harvested material, substance, or other article in respect of which this act applies, is or in upon reasonable grounds suspected to be, prominent one, condition for the purposes of AA, propagation contemplated in section 7.1b, BB, the sale or any other form of marketing of the protected variety contemplated in section 7.1c, or CC, exportation contemplated in section 7.1d, to produce, reproduce, bred, cultivated, processed, treated, prepared, tested, examined, analyzed, classified, prepackaged, act, labeled, held, kept, packed, removed, transported, exhibited, or sold. B. Direct a person in control of or employed at such place, premises of vehicle 2, number 1, deliver any book, record, or any other document, or any or other document, whether in physical, electronic, digital, or any other form, which pertains to the plant propagating material, substance, or other article, and which is in the possession or under the control of that person. 2. Any such information as he or she has with regard to that plant, propagating material, substance, or others to end. 3. Render such assistance to register, employee or person requires to enable him or her to perform his or her functions in terms of this act. C. Inspect any book, record, or other document and make copies of or excerpts from it. D. Seize any plant propagating material, substance, book, record, other document or article which is or may be relevant to a prosecution under this act and keep it in his or her custody after allowing the person from whose possession or control any book, record or document has been taken to make at his or her own expense and under the supervision of the registrar, employee or person concerned copies thereof or excerpts from it. And E. Take samples of any plant propagating material, substance or other article used or intended for use in the production, reproduction, breeding, cultivating, processing, treatment, preparation, testing, examining, analyzing, classification, pre-packaging, marking, labeling, holding, keeping, packing, removal, transport, exhibition, or sale thereof, and of any plant propagating material, substance, or other articles in terms of paragraph D, and examine, analyze, and classify those samples. 2. Any sample taken in terms of subsection 1E or 6 must A. consist of any quantity or mass determined by the registrar, taken in accordance with the methods determined by him or her. B. B. Take any presence of the person in charge of or the owner or custodian of such plants, propagating material, substance, or other article, or if such person, owner or custodian is not available, in the presence of any other witness, and the form as described must be completed in respect thereof. C. If necessary, packed and identified in such manner as nature thereof permits. And D. With all convenience speed to be tested, examined, or analyzed in accordance with such methods as the registrar may determine, or as may be prescribed, and the results of such test, examination, or analysis must be entered examination or analysis must be entered on the form as prescribed. 3. A warrant referred to in Section 1 must be issued by a magistrate who has jurisdiction in the area where the place of premises is in question or situated, or where the vehicle is or will be, and must only be issued if it appears to the magistrate from information or no information that there are reasonable grounds for believing that an article mentioned in subsection 1A and B is upon or in such place, premises or vehicle, and must specify which of the acts mentioned in subsection 1 may be performed thereunder by the person to whom it is issued. 4. A warrant issued in terms of this section must be executed by day, unless the person who issues the warrant authorizes the execution thereof by night, the time which must be reasonable, and end upon and said of any place, premises or vehicle specified in such warrant must be conducted with strict regard to decency and order, including a person's right to respect for and protection of his or her dignity, b, the right of a person to freedom and security, and c, the right of a person to his or her personal privacy. 5. The registrar, employee or person executing a warrant in terms of this section must immediately, before commencing the execution, a, identify himself or herself the person in control of the place, premises or vehicle, if such person is present, and hand to such person a copy of the warrant, or if such person is not present, affix such copy to a prominent place on the place, premises or vehicle, and b, supply such person and at his or her request with particulars regarding his or her authority to execute such a warrant. 6. The registrar may, without a warrant, enter any place, premises or vehicle, and search for this, take sample of, and remove any article referred to in subsection 1, if the person who is competent to do so consents to such entry. Search, seizure, taking all samples and removal. 7a. The registrar, employee or person who may, on the ground of warrant issued in terms of subsection 3, enter and search any place, premises or vehicle, may use such forces if reasonable necessary to overcome resistance to such entry or search. B. No person may enter upon and search any place, premises or vehicle unless he or she has audible, nominal 1, demanded admission to the place, premises or vehicle. B. Act 2. Identify the death for herself. And 3. Notify the purpose of his or her entry. Unless such person is upon reasonable grounds of the opinion that any article may be disregarded, such admission is first demanded. Such identification communicated and such purpose first notified. 8. If during the execution of a warrant or the conducting of the search in terms of this section, a person claims that an article found on or on the place, premises or vehicle in question contains fruitless information and refuses the inspection or removal of such article, the person executing the article or conducting the search must, if he or she is of the opinion that the article contains information which is relevant to the investigation and that such information is necessary for the investigation or hearing, request a magistrate who has jurisdiction to seize and remove that article for safe custody until a court of law has made a ruling on the question whether or not the information in question is privileged. 9. A warrant issued in terms of this section may be issued on any day and remain in force until it is executed, B, is cancelled by the person who issued it, or if such person is not available by any person with similar authority. C. Expiry of 1 month from the day of its issue, or D. The purpose for which the warrant was issued no longer exists, whichever may occur first. 10. If no criminal proceedings is instituted in connection with any kind of propagating material, substance, book, record, or other article or document seized in terms of subsection 1 or 6, or if it appears that such plant, propagated material, substance, book, record, or other article or document is not required at the trial for the purpose of evidence, or in order of court, that plant, propagated material, substance, book, record, or other article or document must be returned to the person from whom it was seized. Yes.
Any questions or comments on our paper? I'm still in charge, I will decide the reporting behind me.
So you did. Let me share this last piece of power with you. On 6, like I would say, the registrar may, there are only two things there. One is that this registrar, through the document, is treated as a title that is always referred to in a capital letter R. maybe this one is just a small omission. And then secondly, in many paragraphs, this registrar goes with a designated person and another person. But in this one, it's just the registrar. He therefore has self alone. Why is the case in this one? Thank you.
Call for it.
Thank you, sir. The page 21.4, subsection 4, the very last line, starting with warrant, the fourth line from the number 4 in the middle of the page. Warrant must be conducted with strict regard to due certainty. Now, I think therein comes the question of culture. To one, people belonging to or having different cultures, decency may mean different things. I'll just quote one very common example. In certain cultures, if a relatively young person looks an adult straight in the eyes, it's not decent. But in other cultures, if you don't look them straight, it's the opposite, you know. So, and then also there's a question of the Bill of Rights there. So that's something to question. I don't have an exact substitute word, but if anybody has one, but I would appeal to our legal goals to find a legally acceptable term which would convey the same sense, but running away from the risk of a duplicity of interpretations for the reason that I've stated. And further down, 7b, no person may enter upon a certain place, premises, or people unless he has audibly. This presupposes that you would be talking to people who can actually hear. The deaf people are not accommodated here. So there again, we need to find an appropriate word. I don't want to go so far as to say visibly, you know, as well as audibly, but I would appeal that we find an appropriate way to communicate the sense that we know is trying to communicate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Now, Chair, with power vested in me, I hand back the power to Chair to you.
thank you, Honorable Maloy. Honorable Youngblood?
Thank you, Chair. On page 20, section C, I know that the assumption is that the books and reports and documents referred to relate to the investigation, but wouldn't it be prudent to include there that it must be book, record, or other documents relating to the investigation or relating to the search? Because a lot of people keep private and confidential things in their offices, which is sometimes nothing to do with the official business. Thank you.
Can we get the department to respond?
Chair, thank you to the members for these comments. You may recall that this section we've dealt with extensively under the Plant Improvement Bill, specifically section 42. So that section dealt with inspections. So what we will do is to consider the comments that we received for the section on the Plant Improvement Bill and just add the questions as they came up now, because as indicated that we must ensure that there's adherence to the Bill of Rights, and then the new question now from Honorable Yondut. So it's already one of those sections that where there's also an overlap, because the text is word for word the same. Thank you.
Agreed, Honorable Members?
Yes.
Agreed? Yes. 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 Where is this back? Department?
It's duly noted, thank you.
Agreed, Honorable Fuchan?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. So we're now at number 50, or close 50, which speaks to request for test that has the authority of another kind. It reads, the Registrar may provide an appropriate authority that distinguishes with the Commissioner's Stability Test report and the rights to scheduled staff from tests and trials undertaken by him or her. There is a section 21A against any of the circumstances. Thank you. So one chair took a defect in the form not to invalidate the documents. A defect in the form of any document that is held of any law is required to be executed in a particular manner, or in a notice issued in terms of this act, does not, if the document complies substantially with the applicable legal requirements, render unlawful any adversity of acts performed in terms of this act, in respect of the matter to which such document or such notice relates, and does not constitute a grant or exception to any legal procedure that may be taken in the respect of such matter. That's it.
Agreed?
52 speaks to correction of errors. 52 one states the Registrar may authorize A, the correction of any medical error or error in translation appearing in any time reader's rights, the application for such a right or any document filed in pursuit of such application or the Registrar, and B, the amendment of any document for the amendment of which no express provision is made in the Act, in this Act. The rest of the exercise authority under Section 1 of his or her own accord or upon the person's right. Where the Registrar intends exercising the authority under Section 1 of his or her own accord, the Registrar must A, give notice of his or her intention to the holder of the Rambler's right or the application for such rights, as the case may be, and to any other person who appears to him or her to have an interest in the matter, and B, give such holder, applicant, or person an opportunity to be of being heard before exercising his or her authority. Yes, sir.
Agreed, honorable members? Agreed?
53, just speaks to disclose of information. It states that subject to the Promotion of Access to Information Act of 2000, no person may disclose any information obtained by him or her in the performance of his or her functions in terms of this act, except A, to the extent that it may be necessary for the proper administration of the Act, B, for the purpose of any legal proceedings under this Act, C, upon an order of a committee court, or D, at the request of the Minister, the DG, or any other person allegedly to the information.
Agreed?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Minister may make the relation by not seeing a letter that in any matter which may or might be the substance of this Act, C,
sorry, Chair, I'll start from 54. The Minister may make regulations by notice of the Gazette regarding A, any matter which may or must be described in terms of this Act, B, any certificate or other document or form to be issued or used for purposes of this Act, C, the fees payable in respect of any application, matter or document, D, the information and practices to be provided to the Registrar by an applicant for a plant builder's right, and the reproductive materials to be submitted at the time of an application and thereafter. E, the tests, trials, examinations, and other steps to be taken by an applicant or the Registrar before the plant builder's rights may be granted, and the time within which they have to be taken. F, the records relating to the reproductive material for sale, multiplication, or export to be kept by any person who has such material in his or her possession or under his or her control, to form the form and manner in which they are to be kept and how and to whom they must be available for inspection, and G, any ancillary or incidental administrative, or procedural matter that it is not necessary to prescribe for the implementation or administration of this Act. Two, different regulations may be made in respect of different classes or groups of plants or in respect of different kinds of plants. Three, the regulations made in respect of any controversy thereof or failure to comply therewith prescribe a penalty A, in the case of a first conviction, of a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 6 months, and B, in the case of a second or subsequent conviction, of a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 1 year. Four, a regulation prescribing a fee may be made only after consultation with the Minister of Finance. Thank you.
Agreed? Honorable Maloy, Honorable Sultana?
Chair, in terms of regulations, can you take the same route that we took with the
flood improvement bill. And if you so agree, let's say to the parliamentary advisors to go ahead and align it with what we said earlier, it is a flood improvement bill.
Thank you, sir. Sorry for taking you back to 53. On page 22.
You know, it's illegal to take the chair back to where
you're supposed
to. Okay.
Okay. Substitute, blah, blah, blah. No person may disclose the information obtained by him or her in the performance of their functions in terms of this act. Now, if a person is holding as a witness and is obliged, therefore, to obtain some information, or is in a position to obtain information, it's an inquiry, and in the process they hear about ABC. Now, do you want this to be pending to such persons, or do you want to restrict this to officials of government? Person happens to get the inquiry and they come across certain information. Is it the intention of the legislature to restrict such persons? When you say any person?
Department? I was moving. yes, we were just moving. Can I ask that if you repeat the question, please? Okay. Another question, Sam.
Thank you, sir. Session 53 on page 22, the second line. No person may disclose any information obtained by him or her in the performance of his or her function in terms of this act. Now, my question is, here is a witness who has been called in by a registrar during an inquiry or something for an appeal. Now, because they are there when there are people who are sharing information, putting the information to the court, and they pick up this information, do you want to restrict those people as well? It's beyond the officials. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Department?
Let me answer it this way. In any judicial process or even a quasi-judicial process which this would fall into, you want confidentiality and you don't want to jeopardize any process going forward. You don't also want to jeopardize any rights holders' rights, and therefore specifically with regards to the sharing of information. In the case of a witness, that would be a quasi-judicial process, and we would have, that person would have to be bound by confidentiality. To violate confidentiality will create a difficulty and more problems. So therefore, in respect of a quasi-judicial process, we view it as a judicial process. With regards to this, which is basically talking to various activities, but the exceptions are from A to B, it's only under those circumstances where a person performing some function, not necessarily in a quasi-judicial process or investigation, but any function in terms of this act, will be bound by the Promotion of Access to Information Act, unless these circumstances listed from A to D.
Yes, just to in line with what my colleague has said, the Constitutional Court has recently decided in my vote counts matter against the Speaker of the National Assembly that the Promotion of Access to Information Act covers the field of access to information.
of information both as a private hand as well as a public hand. And here, the right of any person referred to in 53 is protected because it says it's subject to whatever rights that person has under prior hands.
Honorable
Sultan?
Thank you, sir. Okay, thanks for the response, which was quite comprehensive. But I'm not sure if we really want to cover, you know, even people with black witnesses. Here I am, I'm called in as a family, put it that way. We're running a business. Now, I come across this information because I've been, you know, summoned as a witness. I get back to where other members of the family, and I tell them what transpired in the trial. You say that I'm breaking the law if I do that? Or do you perhaps want to say that until a given case is over, when we know that sharing information would not have been, you know, prejudicial?
Why do you share information, Honorable Speaker? Why do you want to share that information which does not belong to the family member? It's a normal situation. Why do you want to share that thing? Because in witness, they are bound by the buyer. Everybody, including the witness and everybody. Yes. You are, Agir Bayer is not saying if you have become a witness you can be excused from this. No. You are bound by that buyer, all of us. Whether you are a witness or you are a breeder, the right holder, or you are the register, or you are the department, or you are an observer. Even the media, when it comes to observe, cannot actually do things that are against buyer. So it doesn't matter who you are at that time or what status you hold. Buyer, all of us, equally so. Yes, Honorable Kusama?
From the Sisof.
No,
the chair. Oh, you're from the Sisof. Okay. Okay, I hear and welcome your expression, Chair. But I'm very, very cautious when it comes to limiting civil rights in a constitutional democracy. The example I gave was a typical example where I don't foresee any danger if I go back home and I share information, you know, with members of my family. If that is going to now be interpreted as, you know, as infringing upon the subject of Section 53, the stipulations of Section 53. But I will not insist on this, if that is the general feeling, I'll give in. Different from giving up.
Yes, because they will not, we cannot say it is a problem to share, but the problem would be if your family member then do other things with that information. So then it becomes a problem. You see the problem, where is the problem? But if you share the information in the dinner table, they keep quiet, they don't take it outside in the dining room, then there's no problem. But immediately they move out of the dining room and go out at the street and share that information, it becomes something else. Honorable Kappa.
Thank you, Chair. I also wanted to highlight the emphasized part which says this information you obtained it while you are doing your functions. And when you do your functions, then you doesn't go and disclose that information. That's where this thing says. I understand it.
It's actually most honorable sector. So, no, I'm not saying speak, I'm just saying right. You can say yes. Agreed, honorable members? Yes, there was an issue that was raised by Honorable Maloy on the 54, which says that we can then use the agreement that we reached in the other bill to redraft the 54. Honorable Young Blue.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the regulations in Section 54, I notice that there's no time constraints on the Minister for the publishing of the regulations. And I have seen an experience with regard to the small-scale fisheries plan that it took months, if not years, for the regulations to be published. Wouldn't it be wise to put in a time limit in this section? Thank you.
Well, back to Leila. Your member was debated this issue. Yes, I did.
The minister may, it says still they may, and we've granted you to say that we have to redraft that that clause in the improvement trans bill. So, and Honorable Maloy is suggesting that we should work this clause to be like the one in that bill. Agreed?
Yes.
Thank you. Can proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we are now at 25 on offences and penalties. 51 is a person is guilty of an offence if that person in relation to propagating material of a plant variety, in respect of which a plant with a right has been granted in accordance to Section 28, performed any of the activities contemplated in Section 71A to F, and such activity would, by virtue of Section 32, infringe the plant with a right in the variety. B. Any person convicted of an offence contemplated in paragraph A is liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years, or to both such fine and such imprisonment. C. The institution of an agent for compensation for actions on account of an infringement in accordance with Section 33 and respect of a particular activity does not prevent a prosecution in terms of this taking in respect of such activity. D. A prosecution in terms of this subsection in respect of an activity that allegedly infringe the plant with the rights in a variety does not prevent the institution of an action for compensation on account of an infringement in accordance with Section 33. For compensation on account of an infringement in terms of it. So, full share, 5.2 reads, a person is guilty of an offense if that person A knowingly made a false entry in the register or caused it to be made therein, or who makes a right or causes a right to be made is forcing the person to be a copy of an entry in the register, or of a document lodged with the registrar, or who produces or tenders or causes to be produced or tendered as evidence any such entry or any such copy. B. Makes a false statement or representation or furnishes false information knowing it to be false. C. Obstructs or hinders the registrar in the exercise of his or her powers or the carrying out of his or her duties under this Act. D. Having been duly summoned to appear at any proceeding under this Act, fails without lawful excuse so to appear. E. Having appeared as a witness at any proceeding under this Act, refuses without lawful excuse to be sworn in or to affirm or to produce any document or answer any question which he or she has been lawfully required to produce or answer. F. Falsely represents that propagating material sold by his or her for the purposes of propagation or multiplication is propagating material of a variety in respect of which a plant breeder's right has been granted under this Act, or that the propagating material originates from such a variety. G. At the sale of propagating material for the purposes of propagation or multiplication uses a denomination, Roman letter 1, such material which is different from the denomination registered in terms of this Act for the variety in question or uses the registered denomination of another variety of the same kind of plant or two, which corresponds so closely to the registered denomination that it is misleading. Or H, except in the sentence is contemplated in 753, discloses information acquired by him or her in the course of his or her duties or in the performance of his or her functions under this Act. 3. Any person convicted of an offence referred to in subsection 2 is liable. A. In the case of a first conviction of an offence referred to in subsection 2A, B, C, D, or E, to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years or both, such fine and imprisonment and such imprisonment. B. In the case of a second or subsequent conviction of an offence referred to in subsection 2A, B, C, D, or E, to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 4 years or both such fine and such imprisonment. See, in the case of a first conviction of an offence referred to in subsection 2F, G or H, to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years or to both such fine and such imprisonment. And D, the case of a second or subsequent conviction of an offence referred to in subsection 2F, G or H, to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 4 years or to both a fine and such imprisonment. Thank you.
Agreed. Honorable Sultan.
Thank you, sir. Page 23, 55.2b makes a false statement or representation of penalties false information. I think we should have an object there. Makes a false statement, so and so. Because if a person makes a false statement to anybody, that should not necessarily constitute an offense. But if you make it to an authorized officer, then I would understand if it makes a, if that is offensive. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I just wanted to maybe, I don't know if it would be best for me to read it again, because this trend in the section in the only be interpreted in the context of this particular bill. So any action or action in this bill is in relation to authority rather than the action. But specifically, due to what the Honorable Ruler is referring to, it speaks about the register. It says a person is guilty of an offense if that person knowingly make a false entry in the register or cause it to be made therein or who made the register. So it links to the register and the registrar and somebody falsifying themselves in the register to list the work of the registrar.
Then paragraph
55
becomes
an issue. If you want us to read 2B in the context of 2A, there should not be 2B, it should be 2A1. Then we'll know that that general statement, starting with the word knowingly, relates to B as well. Then that's why I'm saying paragraphing becomes an issue. It gave us a totally different meaning, because B is a standalone, and the way it's in the structure does not in any way relate to 2A. Thank you.
Government? Chair, without belaboring the point, you always look to the object, the spirit, and the intention of the act. Everything in the act has to be read in that context. So what my colleague explained, no court, no judicial process, or quasi-judicial process would interpret this to mean that a false statement or representation is made with regards to any other matter. It's just a principle of law that this act will be interpreted in the spirit it's been drafted, with objects in mind. Because otherwise, every act with regards to any statement, if you're talking about a child and defaming a person in public, then, it would be too far-fetched or too remote in law to use that statement in relation to any matter regarding this, an offence or penalty in respect of this act. This section deals with offences and penalties in respect of this act, and it touches on all those behaviours, acts or omissions in respect of this act. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think probably the two groups we might say maybe not necessarily there, because 2A deals with the falsification of information that people submit to the court. Because the bill itself talks of people filling a prescribed form when they put application. There is nowhere where people make statements, which might be verbal
in the process of registering, and you know, and based also on the response that came from a legal person, you know, I do see the necessity of 2B.
Are you agreeing,
the legal team? Safe to say, Chair, that 2B, in the context of everyone, colleagues have explained that it speaks to all of those provisions in Exhibition 11 here. First of all, it talks about the false statement. Elsewhere in the bill, it talks about witnesses submitting statements under oath. So here, if you knowingly submit a false statement in regards to a hearing, which is contemplated in this act, you'll be guilty of this kind of offense and be penalized accordingly. It talks about all the recommendations where you have been found to influence the act, you can make recommendations to the register. So it's kind of different the context from A. But
agreed? Agreed, Honorable Chair?
No, Chair. I don't agree.
So if you don't agree, others agree, then we must pass.
No.
Others, they are physically able to teach.
It's what you restructure for A and B in a manner in which I suggested, which is grammatically and even legally, you know, we're correct. I would agree. But if our legal advisors or gurus insist that it's okay as it is, on the understanding that they are opening an opportunity for someone to commit to B and get scot-free, I don't mind. I'm not likely to be victim there. But I'm perfectly correct in what I'm saying. Perfectly correct.
No.
Thank you.
The perfect is your perfect, not ours. You know, it's like the person who said, I'm telling the truth. When you know that truth is not ours, ours can be interpreted differently. I think Honorable Maloye.
No, I'm not a legal guru. I just need the legal advice. The meaning of the signs, your comma, your full stop, and so on, what is the meaning of the signs? Because once you explain what is the sign again, what do you call this one? It's not the comma, what is it?
Semicolon.
What is the meaning of that? Does it mean that it's a full stop? Does it mean that it's continuation? So all the other, the POC and whatever, they are related to what you explained about what is the meaning of those things. Because that will explain why are we saying B is relevant, because they show full stop. But the liberal goals will advise me.
No, remember, thanks for that guidance. Yes, you are quite correct that the punctuation in legislative dancing is quite important. And in that instance, not only the semicolons as we have pointed out indicate the continuation, even from the main section in 2, is that hyphen there, which says that all what is listed underneath that hyphen relates to the main section in 2, so all the subsections of 2. It is definitely a continuation until all the way until the next phrase, which is the full stop, as the last part of that section. So all of those provisions relate to a person being guilty of an offense if they are found to have done any of the things listed there.
So there is advice from the legal team that we must leave with the honorable person. So unless you are saying you don't want, but the legal team of your parliament says you must leave with it, our advice is there. So. So we can only consult him with the parliamentary advisor. He's agreeing that the two must remain with the punctuations, explanations that we had, that are interrelated. It's continuous, not interrogated. It's a continuation, yeah.
agreed to that of the members. We are now at 56, yes?
56 fixed jurisdiction of the Magistrates Court, which says that not understanding anything contrary to any other law, the Magistrates Court has jurisdiction to impose any remedies prescribed by that.
Agreed.
Yes. Mr. 7, speaking of the provision of trafficking officers, it reads, what is 57.1 is, the registrar or an officer who, under the delegation, control or direction of a registrar, exercises the powers and carries out the duties assigned to or imposed upon the registrar under the Act, is guilty of an offence and liable and convicted to a fine or imprisonment or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 1 year. A. If he or she buys, sells, acquires, or traffics in any plant with his right or is his paying. B. If he or she acquires otherwise than in the course of his or her duties, or sells any propagating material of a variety in respect of which a claim to his right has invented or applied for. 2. Any purchase, sale, acquisition, or assignment of any claim to his right by or to the registrar or any such officer will be of no force and effect. 3. Any reproductive material acquired by the registrar or such an officer must be forfeited to the state. 4. None in this section contained applies to the person who brand or discovered, as developed, the variety of a plant or to any position by inheritance. Thank you, sir.
Agreed.
58, Chair, Professor Delegation. 58.1 reads, the Minister may in writing delegate any funds entrusted to the Minister under this Act, as certain funds in effect to him, Section 54, to any employee of the Department. 2. The Register may delegate in writing the performance of any funds entrusted to the Register under this Act to any employee of the Department. 3. A. Any decision made or order given by an employee contemplated in Sections 1 and 2 must be regarded as having been made by the Minister or Register as the case may be. B. The Minister or Register, as the case may be, may withdraw or amend any decision or order contemplated in paragraph A, subject to any rights that may have been given as a consequence of such decision or order. Yes.
Approved.
59, Chair, provides transitional provisions and savings. 59.1A reads, a plant builder's right granted in terms of the Plant Builders Act of 1976, immediately before the commencement of this Act, must be granted as a plant builder's right granted under this Act. B. This Act applies if the date is required by the context to a plant builder's rights contemplated in paragraph 8, provided that the period of protection of that plant builder's rights is regulated by Section 21 of the Plant Builder's Rights or Rights Act of 1976, as if that Act has not been approved by Section 60 of this Act. 2A. Any application for a plant builder's rights which was received by the Register on a date before the date of commencement of this Act, but in respect of which a plant builder's right has not been granted, in terms of system based of the Plant Builders Rights Act of 1976, before such date of commencement, must be dealt with in all respects in accordance with the Plant Builders Rights Act of 1976, as if that Act was still enforced, notwithstanding the repeal thereof, by Section 60 of this Act. B. If the Plant Builders Right has been granted in accordance with paragraph A, the provisions of this Act apply. 59.3H is, in the event that a bidder has developed a variety in respect of which an application for registration of a plant builder's rights of the variety in question has not been submitted in accordance with the Plant Builder's Rights Act of 1976 before the commencement of this Act, such bidder may, in the period prescribed by the Minister, submit an application for registration of such rights in accordance with this Act. B. No such application may be submitted after expiration of the prescribed period contemplated in paragraph A. 4. The employee designated as registrar, under Section 3, one of the Plant Builders Act of 1976, must be regarded as having been designated as registrar in terms of Section 1 of the Act. The registrar kept in terms of Section 4, one of the Plant Builders Act of 1976, must be incorporated in and must form part of the register to be kept in terms of Section 4, 1 of the Act, and any documents applied to the register under the Plant and Plant Builders Act of 1976. None of any provision thereof must be regarded as having been furnished to the register under the corresponding provision of the same.
Agreed?
So.
Agreed.
60 provides the repeal of laws. The laws referred to in the second column of the schedule are hereby repealed So let's test that out in the third column of the schedule.
Yes.
This is one for us, a short title. This act is called the Bambidas Right Act of 2015 and comes into operation on a date fixed by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. And lastly, Chair, the long title of this bill is this bill sets to provide for a system where under Bambidas Right relating to varieties of certain kinds of plants may be granted. All the requirements that have to be complied with for the grant of those rights, for the scope and production of such rights, and for the grant of licenses, in respect of the exercise of such rights, and to provide for methods to enter their service. Thank you.
Approved. Honorable Maloy.
No, just one general question. I did not want to raise earlier on. I'm not sure whether you have the style or what is the situation. In your plant improvement bill, your offences and penalties are separated. Your offences is clause 59, your penalties is clause 60. In this one, your offences and penalties are combined under one clause. Why is it just the style or done by somebody else in America and this one?
Yes, you can respond. It's actually style, drafting style, and it was in fact drafted by different legal people, so it's all about style. It was one person that drafted the piece of legislation as in that did the plant improvement, you probably would have had it as separate.
The style is not fixed, man. Your bills are too long.
I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah?
I don't know what
you're
saying.
Which one?
What did
you
say?
It's not fixed. It's the time of writing. The bill is too long. We have to, you know, that's why you end up having other clauses contradicting others in the process because of you want to explain everything. So I think as we are going to deal with other bills, we must take that thing in cognizance that we don't have to have such a long bills. You can have short and planetary, so that you don't get to drain members for the whole day dealing with one bill, close by close, when you don't have such enough time. So I think we're not saying we must do cut and paste or summarize. So just to have views that it takes to read it and will be fine. And thank you very much for the work done by the legal team. We will then go and Honorable Filton. Honorable, talk to me first before you talk to me. Can talk to me.
Thank you. I was looking at the talk of parliamentary proceedings, and I was wondering if any reference relates to holding public hearings on the two states and so on. That's just what I was checking with my colleague here.
Yeah, indeed, we won't leave for quite some time. We had public hearings, so we had it. Some of the things that we are arguing on them, on the protection of the smallholder farmers, have been raised by the public, so that's why we are emphasizing on them. Yes. So what is left on these bills, honorable members, for the legal team to go and clean up and will come back to us and say, we are not going to do clause by clause. They'll give us a list in time, a list in time, and we go through it. When we come back, we'll just say
If the member has got a problem with the, we'll just make sure that whether our amendment is still there, there's not change anything, and then we adopt the bill. So, but in the next week, which would not deal with it, because we must give them time to have consultation there on with the state floor advisors and our parliamentary, because they must be there to guard our interests as parliament. So next week we'll not deal with, we'll jump the week, and then probably in the other week we'll then analyze the bill. Honorable Fulcher.
Can I humbly and respectfully remind you that there were issues that we left with the legal team to go and finalize. You can't be prudent then that we note those and you say when it comes to those clauses, we will stick them, you know, clause by clause. There have been a few instances where we said go and refine, go and retain and so on. I don't want us to assume that whatever they would have written, we necessarily agree. I don't have a register, for instance, okay, you know, even though I've been intermittent in attendances, but even this afternoon, I know there were two or three instances where we said, go and rethink and so on. Can we agree that when it comes to those there, you know, then they will
vary? On the builder's right, there are those that things that you said that they must go and rethink. And now, we will not do the close by close. Our sister, who is noting, as we are going to say adoption of the clause 2, then members would say, no, no, this does not reflect what we said. Then we deal with it, correct it in that meeting, and agree with what must go in that clause. We are not going to read as we do, Honorable President. It's just to say, agreed clause 1, clause 2, clause 3, our responsibility as members now is as you get the A list and B bill, you then start to look at those issues. And if you are taking our notes and Albertina probably can circulate what you wanted to see the bill. But that's why we're saying our parliamentary legal team must go and guard the interest of members in the with the finalizing of the bid. So we're not going to repeat what we're doing. And we're not going to go into the discussions as we did. We're not going to, like as we've been discussing, there were areas where you wanted this view to prevail and could not prevail. It's not when we say, let's deal with the matter, it's not an opportunity to bring those issues. Like those who are not in this meeting are not going to use that to raise their, take us back into the discussion. So you'll be given chance to interact with the bill to finalize it, but not to open where we have resolved, we are not going to allow members to to take us back. I think that should be the understanding.
Thank you, Chair. Having said it, Chairperson, that maybe when it comes to making some notes, unfortunately, some of us are building on the ground, so we have to go and serve in the committees. Obviously, one has missed some of the deliberations with regards to what happened, I think, a few days, like on Friday. Then my humble request would be then if the secretary then circulate some of the notes if possible. So say that.
Okay, no problem. The secretary can do that. Just to say these are the issues that were raised. I think the content advisor can read better because we must give it the context so that it doesn't just say minutes. Because if you read the minutes without the context, you might not even understand the usefulness of those notes that we have. But the content advisor can then say in this clause, the discussion we are around. Oh, she was not here on Friday, but I think he can help you to do that. Yes. Even if you're not here, he was here. You can do with him. So that then you give members, circulate those things to members. so that those who are not part of the meeting will be able to catch up the discussions so that we don't delay the process. Thank you, Honorable Pogozuka Rukulu. We'll do that through the content approach. First quarter report. Unfortunately, the department has not sent it yet. But if we didn't have legislation, means that we won't have a problem. Can we request the department to adhere to the deadlines of Parliament? And please, Honorable Ramashod, I'm saying honorable so that you can. You can take that serious. Please, can you send documents in time? Because members were supposed to have first quarter and second quarter report as early as possible. Because one of the things that make us to sit in a meeting for quite some long time is we don't receive documents in time and we prepare the meeting, which becomes very dangerous for any discussion. Can we correct that, please? And in the meantime, the legal team will finalize the bill. If they finish early, we can see if we finish with the first quarter, we can then look at the bill and close both of them. But if they you are not do the clean work, don't pressurize by the Tuesday. We can give you the other Tuesdays. Thank you very much, honorable members. We can release the department and members must remain for quite some few minutes.